And welcome to the Link 2013 Ignite Link Updates and Programs on what's new with Microsoft Link since we've released the product. Course. My name is Aaron Steele, and I'm a consultant with Microsoft. I've been here for about 3 years and consulting on Link and Enterprise Voice for most of that time. I'm originally from the Michigan area, but I live in Chicago right now with my wife and two kids. And with me is
Brian Ricks. So I am a lead architect, actually the architect, for Brightcom Computers. I'm an independent consultant. I have been working with Link technology since the, well, since the days of LCS, and an MVP since 2006. I recently achieved my MCSM certification, which unfortunately has been decommissioned. But that's okay. I am... been doing IT work for over 20 years and independent since 2009. So with that.
Very fun. So with that, we're setting some expectations for this course. Really, the target audience is IT and telecommunications professionals who design, plan, and deploy unified communications products. You should have an experience in these products and especially in understanding what happens in Link 2013 at the RTM layer. And what we're really trying to show you is what's come since that product has been released.
That's right. We're not teaching you about Link per se. We're teaching you what's new in Link since RTM.
Right. So some resources for you as you're doing this. There are actual instructor-led and online versions of the courses that will get you certified in Link 2013 as a core and as enterprise and online services. And related to those, you can get you can know your stuff and get certified in those things, both through the MVA and those courses, as well as professional certifications like your MCSE or your core Link products.
Okay.
In this course, we're going to talk about a set of topics and really cover these a lot of the new updates since RTM at a very high level. We're going to start with covering Link's journey and sort of how that came to be. We're going to then touch a bit on Link and Skype and how they work together, how they're related. We're going to talk about the increased release cadence and our change to the agile approach of development. We're going to touch on a few of the new features at a very high level, and then we'll talk about what this all means for you IT pros that are learning about the new Link product. With that said, the Link journey. The Link journey really is about the SIP stack and the fact that in XP in 2001, Messenger shipped with the product, with the SIP stack built in. And we had a client ecosystem that built up around the LCS product where we had Communicator 2005 that was available for both Windows and Mac and on Windows Mobile. We then introduced OCS, and it came with an updated Office Communicator stack that worked on Windows, Mac, Messenger for mobile, the Symbian product, BlackBerry, and we even had a version that ran on your Motorola Razr. Once we got to R2, we changed that a little bit, and we added features into that product, right? Basically the same feature set or same capabilities at those mobile clients and the different products that we had available. Once we got to Link 2010, we provided clients for Windows, for Mac, for BlackBerry, for Android. It really is this ecosystem that we've been continuing to build and continuing to maintain of providing these products where you need them, when you need them to communicate the way you want. And that extends all the way through Link 2013. We've got PC and laptop clients. We've got a Windows 8 modern client. We've got a Windows Phone client. We've got clients for Android, iPhone, iPad, Mac OS, and feature parity across a lot of these in terms of the capabilities to do voice, to do video, to do presentations, to consume content. With that said, we've got that ecosystem, and it's really about keeping you connected the way you want to be connected. And with that, going along with that is the sort of connection that Link and Skype have. And we've got a little video here for you.
When we come together, we are capable of great things. A better way to build, a faster way to grow, a smarter way to do business. But the world is still a big place. From high-rise conference rooms to factory floors, across thousands of miles and multiple time zones. And yet, we should be able to work together, to be together, to collaborate from anywhere, anytime, as if in the same room. We should be able to do all of this, to move between contexts, between devices, and across geographies.
Hold on 1 second. We got it.
Yes. Communication is at the core of what it means to be human. It defines us and shapes our ideas, our reality. Now, no matter where we are, we can communicate. Across our organizations, with our customers and partners, and with the most important people in our lives. All from a single secure place. This is lifelike video, voice, instant messaging, and meetings. Available from any of your devices. For communicating with virtually anyone. And bringing human connection to every conversation.
Hi, honey. How'd it go?
It went well. It went very well. I'll be home soon.
This is the best of technology, empowering the most fundamental element of communication, us. This is Link.
So that's a little video just showing the power of these technologies when you've got them deployed to interconnect you and connect you the way you want to connect with the Link product suite.
Right, and really that's key. It's not forcing you to use a particular technology modality, form factor. You can go ahead and use whatever you want, and it's the same experience wherever you're at.
Yeah, but the idea is you've got those connections, and you can make those connections and use them to get your work done no matter where you are.
Right.
So when we talk about Link and Skype together, it really is about them working together, not about them being the same. They've got a different purpose and a different function, but they work together. Skype is really targeted at individuals. Link is targeted at medium to large size organizations. You know, the in-between is that teams and small organizations, maybe they live in Link Online. Mm. Maybe they can interact with Skype and use it for that. It's fairly interesting to hear Steve Ballmer, when he was talking about the Skype acquisition, he said, we will deliver what our customers and business customers really want. The ability to have one-to-one discussions or group meetings using a broad spectrum of devices. We'll deliver these capabilities in ways that let people chat via instant message, voice, video, all the modalities, and use those naturally and easily. So since Microsoft acquired Skype in October 2011, Skype really does operate inside of Microsoft as its own division. It operates as its own piece. And building on that is the Link integration into that workload. So Microsoft really feels we're at a unique position to be the only provider of an integrated communications solution across the entire spectrum, from the living room to the boardroom. So where we go with that is really about that Skype is built for consumers first, right? It's about simplicity, self-service, universally available. Its general nature to boast those large, active online communities and get those people into it.
But at the same time, that means they don't have the same support models and offerings that something like an on-premise or even Link Online would have for us.
Most definitely. It's individual download driven. It's online and community support. There isn't the really available, you know, call 1-800-Microsoft mm-hmm. to get your support. Simple, pay with credit card, manage Skype manager for those small teams and those small offices. Massive community, but
no online and community support.
Right. There's right. No volume licensing. It's not available on your volume licensing portals. You can only prepay. Mm-hmm. You can't have those billing models that you might want. You don't have your real flexibility for that. There's no Active Directory support with Skype, things like that. So as we're moving, Link, on the other hand, really is that full range of business needs. It covers those cloud and on-prem deployments. It covers interoperability with a number of on-premise video and voice systems. It has APIs for building business integrated solutions. It has VDI or virtual desktop support. It really is, we are working towards a unified real-time client, right? anywhere access, enterprise PBX functionalities. Right now, you know, could you replace your PBX at your company with Skype?
You know, funny you say, there are some I know that have tried, some small businesses, and I think that's key when we're looking at this, in that there, it really is dependent upon the business. Link is designed for the larger, mid to large companies.
Yep.
And it is a complex application that takes a lot of support and a lot of back-end hardware to make it work correctly. If you don't have that IT infrastructure already, more than likely Skype is the solution for you, or Link Online.
Right.
It's not a cut and dry model for any. The line is so gray when you're talking about what's going to happen for who, for when, for sizing. It's arbitrary. So
yeah, there's a definite continuity of experience there, where you have the ability to choose the right environment and the right system for your business and your needs.
Mm-hmm.
Where when you get to the Link product, some of the benefits of that, right? You've got that integration with Office. It's so nice to have that automatic presence. Identity management through Active Directory. You've got really configurable settings and controls. One of the things that you don't really have with a Skype experience is the ability to centrally manage the policies and procedures of your environment. You have to trust your users to do that for themselves. We don't have Exchange archiving and discovery in the Skype product.
We don't have any discovery in the Skype product.
Right. And then again, we are supported by Premier, by our Microsoft Consulting Services, and by a rich, rich system of partners. Now, how Link and Skype work together is this federation model, right? We have this combination of Skype and Link connecting through federation. We get voice interoperability. We can make Skype to Link calls, Link to Skype calls, click to Skype fires off a Link environment, and the value proposition really is the ability to collaborate with the world. So you can connect your Link environment to the full ecosystem of hundreds of millions of Skype users out there,
while having the enterprise back end for you and letting them live in the free eco world.
Yep. And this is the idea: is you can take control of IT consumerization. You can give your employees what they want. You get to control Link interoperability compliance, you get excitement and adoption through those familiar and intuitive tools, and it's all contained in that broader experience of Office, Exchange, and SharePoint, right? But you can connect to those other systems and those other people. You can get your business-to-business environment through federated connections through a Link-to-Link environment, but when those companies don't have Link, you can federate with them through their Skype connections or their other provider connections. So temporary business arrangements. You've got a number of business-to-consumer setups here. I can envision a scenario where through a Link connection, I can have my HR my HR recruiters set up to interview their potential candidates over a Link-to-Skype call and a Link-to-Skype connection.
Unless, of course, the interviewees have Link, and then because they're running it and they want to... But you have the choice. You can do whichever way you want.
Technologists.
Yes.
You know, that's a different thing. So we're shooting for, in the Link to Skype transition, to have a full set of capabilities: contact adding and removal, present instant messaging, and we're bringing voice calling, and we're bringing video calling into that fold. So it should be noted that Link to Skype, IM presence, and voice are included in the standard Link CAL, right? And for consumers who subscribe to O365 Home Premium, get 60 minutes of calling included in that through your Skype connection. So this next little section here is about our increased release cadence and our change to the agile approach for development. With that said, this increased release cadence really pushes us as a development organization to change the way we do this. We're shooting for every quarter for Link Online, updates every quarter for Link Server, updates every quarter for Link Client, a frequent and an often released update for your mobile clients, and they're committing to a new version of Link Server by 2014.
And very similar to how we had the current version was end of year, same thing. But interesting that the quarterly updates, it's important to say, hey, it's September 1st, and where's my update? It's approximately quarterly, but there's obviously quality control issues and things that we want to focus on to make sure that things come out correctly.
Most definitely. Get a proper shipped product rather than a shipped product.
Exactly.
So what is Agile and why?
Yeah, why?
So traditional methods of development were what we call waterfall, right? It allows for large, complex projects. It's got extended timelines. It's got multi-year solutions. It's got a continual workforce and incremental project work.
Right.
Waterfalls
work well when you have a three-year project, a dedicated project space. There's a definite beginning, definite end.
Yep. The drivers to get us to the Scrum or the Agile model really are cloud, client proliferation. We needed to align with a different cadence at the Microsoft layer. We needed to be able to compete flexibly. That is, we had to have that flexibility to compete at that speed. And that drives the pace of an Agile or a Scrum deployment. So when we're talking Scrum and Agile, it's about breaking that big project into short stories or sprints. It creates inherent speed because of that, and it creates inherent agility and flexibility. Because as you're running through a sprint, you can determine to change the method, change the feature, change the product in different ways, just simply by the demand coming from the customers or coming from the development teams themselves.
And so to us, what does that mean?
To us, it really means that is what helps Microsoft and Link deliver the features and the capabilities that the customers want as soon as we can and as soon as we are able.
Right. I'm from a consumer perspective and from an IT pro perspective, see it more as Link can is always cutting edge. We're not waiting for a major release to actually get the product changes. Instead, you're constantly seeing evolutions of the product, and you're constantly staying up to date and meeting demands of the market.
Yep. It'll be interesting to see how this happens over the course of the next couple of years and what comes out of this move to Agile. So we're on to the section of new features. This is the little touch on a lot of the things that would be dug into in further courses about Link Server 2013 updates and ignites. On the server, we've got a couple of new commandlets and a couple of new manageability features. We've now got a new commandlet for debugging the Unified Contact Store. That Unified Contact Store is the integration with Exchange 2013. We've got an update to the client to run in UI suppression mode that's much more capable than the previous UI suppression modes that were there. We can now use both SQL mirroring and SQL clustering in a fully supported manner on a Link 2013 environment. That was a huge change that was driven by the customers, and we had to update our support statement around that to get customers comfortable with the fact that we would support it.
And partially, again, going back to the Agile state where things and support statements can change dynamically based off feedback from people.
Yep. Voice, one of the features that we touted when we released Link 2013, wasn't this thing called location-based routing, but it came in a CU and it came in these updates since the server was released. Location-based routing is effectively the opposite of least cost routing. It's the idea that when I'm in a specific location, I should route based on the rules of that location. When we transition to the service, we're talking about the additions of PowerShell for Link Online. This is a really powerful tool. This is a really powerful thing. And it's one of the things that sort of has driven or helped to drive that adoption into the cloud. We've got additional reporting capabilities that have been added, and new reporting capabilities are being added into the product at a fairly rapid pace. You now have the ability to see bar graphs and stacked graphs, as well as the table detail behind that of different IM, audio, and overall total sessions in your Link Online environment. So while we say Link Online doesn't do voice, that doesn't mean it doesn't do video or doesn't do audio.
Right, peer-to-peer.
I can do peer-to-peer in that Link Online environment even if I can't do dial a phone number.
That's right. So when we say Link Online can't do voice, we're saying can't do PSTN voice. Right. So we can be in a conference with multiple people in voice, we can do video, we simply don't have PSTN access.
Yep. At the desktop client or the desktop laptop PC client, we've added a bunch of features since the 2013 release. inline pictures, so you can now paste a picture into your IM conversation. It was a real fun one to see that when it first came out. When we first released that, you pasted a picture in and it was there.
Yeah, you saw it in the IM conversation. Yep.
Yeah. Still transferred via the same file transfer mechanisms of the of normal drag and drop for a picture, but it's actually displayed in line and shown in the in that interface. We added a Q&A manager. It's now available in the client. It does require both QA manager and IM mute require the server to be updated on the back end. But it also should be noted that all of these features, save that persistent chat support for quad byte characters, are available in Link Online and on-premise deployments. So IM mute, this is a big one that customers had been asking for. We needed the combination of QA manager and IM mute to get to what we would describe as a curated meeting experience. The ability to move and reposition your speaker in the conversation window. It seems like such a small change, but it was a powerful change. It lets people see, again, the way they want to see. Mm-hmm. The meetings environment, so it's a tab on the Link client that lists the meetings for the next 24 hours, so you don't have to change over to your Outlook client to see what Link meetings you have to change back to your Link client to launch the meeting or join the meeting.
Yeah, I mean, I like the fact that we're getting truly to the point where use what you want. If you want to launch and do all of your instant messaging from Outlook, okay. If you want to do all of your lookups and gal searches and meetings now, we can do it all from Link. If that doesn't make sense to you, go to OWA. I mean, there's just whatever it works for you, that's the way we want you to do it.
Yep, trying to enable those working modes for the users who are consuming the content. So this is a big update for persistent chat, but the reason persistent chat doesn't have any change for the service is persistent chat doesn't exist in Link Online. But this support for quad byte characters gives us the ability to have Chinese users of persistent chat, which is a big change and a big power add for us. And then spell check. This is something that people have been asking for forever. I don't know how long people have been asking for spell check in your Link client. And we finally got it.
Now you can look brilliant when you IM.
So we've just got a couple of screenshots here showing what you can administratively disable IM in a meeting globally, or you can in fact start a meeting and mute the entire audience via IM or audio from a much simpler interface than trying to mute everybody individually. The Q&A manager. This is really moving the product towards being able to do a structured Q&A and a structured Q&A meeting. Gives you a much more orderly experience in those large meetings. Combining that with IM mute gives you the ability to have a much more straightforward and usable interface for Q&A in a meeting.
And it allows you to decide what you want to answer. That's awesome.
Yep. So presenters get the ability to view all or only unanswered questions. Participants get the ability to view either all or my questions. It can be stopped and resumed at any time. It can be dropped, in fact, and a brand new Q&A can be opened. So you can have a Q&A going, stop that Q&A, be in the exact same meeting, drop that Q&A and start a brand new one for a new group of people. And finally, the content of that Q&A can be saved as a .txt file simply for your perusal later or transposition into some other format outside of the Link client. So on the client, we're continuing those updates. Now we're focused on the mobile updates. So since we released 2013, we've added the ability to view shared meeting content on a mobile. So people who share their content or their desktops from their PC can be consumed on mobile platforms.
And the experience is that as you would expect on a mobile phone.
Yeah.
If you have a little 4-inch screen, you're going to see 4 inches of desktop, or you're going to see
a zoomed in
mass. Yes. So, yeah. I mean, it's as good as the device can do.
Most definitely. But, you know, adding in some of the, you know, that same capability on a larger format device.
Right, like a Surface.
A Surface, you know, an iPad for that matter.
Mm-hmm.
We have the ability in the mobile client to invite ad hoc participants who weren't in the original conference. This is a sort of a no-brainer, but it really was a big add to the client. the ability to rejoin an ongoing conference after leaving it. So if for some reason you either have to drop to take another call, you can rejoin without having to go in and fully relaunch the client. It's still there in the interface and gives you that quick rejoin. As a presenter in a meeting, you have the ability to mute and remove participants. You can transfer your call to another phone number or another person from your contact list. It seems, again, like a no-brainer that you should be able to do this, but remember, when you're in a call on link on your mobile, you're doing voice over IP. You aren't in the phone interface. You're in the phone, you know, the system hasn't called you back. Mm-hmm. You aren't handling the call in the same way, so we had to give you that transfer capability out of the link client. Continue your conversation. So this is a pretty big one. You simply can come back into a conversation and continue it. And lastly is history cleanup. This is a thing that people asked for pretty majorly, which is the ability to simply delete all conversations in your mobile.
Yeah, kind of important. For those that have issues of having the conversations, and maybe not important for some, but really, it's those that say, hey, I need to have that data wiped.
I'm done with it.
Paranoid, don't want it there, or yeah. I just don't want to see it.
Yeah. Right. It should be noted that the server in Link 2013 can enforce on the client some controls about saving and keeping the IAM history mm-hmm. on those mobiles, which was an update from the 2010 client. But this is just a simple interface rather than letting your client build up with all those conversations, all the meetings you've been in, all those capabilities, you can delete all those things. So when we're getting into updates for the Windows Store app, that Windows Store app, some might call it the modern application. It's that full screen store application for Windows 8, 8.1. One huge one was you don't have to have a link account to use that store app to join a meeting.
Okay, so wait, does that mean that I can be a consumer or a small business, be invited to a Link app, and if I have Windows 8, I can join without having to purchase the Link application using the free Windows app?
Most definitely. You can join using the Windows 8 store app, or you can join using the web interface. You mm-hmm. can join using Link web app to join that conference. You can, for those users who do authenticate and do have Exchange services in the background, you get to see your meetings and join those meetings directly from the Link interface. You can now share control of PowerPoint. You still can't upload your own, or you can upload, you still can't share your own PowerPoint, but you can take over control of what someone else has shared and is presenting. You can change your conversation from SnapView, so it's the update to SnapView gives you a lot more flexibility over where it views in your Windows UI and how you use it. Better accessibility for high contrast modes and screen readers on Windows 8 and 8.1, and definite performance improvements. So Link for Mac. Since we released the product, all these updates to Link for Mac. Shockingly, we gave dial tone and PST and ringback and DTMF, exchange redirection, accessibility. Hey, call window brings to the foreground when the device goes off hook. Voicemail. It's just, we're bringing these updates into the client and getting towards a position of feature parity between our Link 2013, our Link for Mac, our Link for mobile, really trying to give the consumers of that service on those different platforms the best capability. So what this means for IT pros. For you, the people who are using, consuming, implementing, advocating for Link, it really means that your issues get addressed at a faster pace. So those cases you open, those support issues you open, those bugs that get opened by the product group, can get looked at, triaged, and hopefully fixed at a much more rapid pace. Again, those are not just issues, but feature asks.
Yeah, which is a big thing, right? So what you received or deployed from 2013 RTM, the product has evolved to the point where it's a completely different product at CU3 already.
Mm-hmm. So, yeah. We get that a greater ability or a higher ability to provide user feedback. So when we're releasing these things, we can get those pieces of feedback back to the consumers and back to those people who are consuming the resource. And again, we're continuously improving reliability, scalability, and performance of the Link system. So with that said, we've got the Link conference coming up in February.
Woohoo!
Yay, go
in
Link
Las
conference!
Vegas.
In Vegas this time.
Yeah.
Easy for you to get to.
Yeah, it's driving distance. That's great.
You can register at linkconf.com. And thank you so much for attending this course on Link Server 2013 Ignite and Link Program Link Updates and Programs.
Thank you.